So Tillery will be chairing this evening. Chairman, you may start the meeting.
Hey, good evening. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice published on the bulletin board in the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
Mr. Ali?
Here.
And Mr. Chairman Tillery?
Here.
Okay.
Will everyone please stand for the salute to the flag, please?
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America. One nation, indivisible,
with liberty and
justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Keneally, are there any changes on tonight's agenda?
Yes, sir. The Andor application on Toes Lane is adjourned until October 24th with no further notice. The on-switch application in New England Avenue is adjourned until October 24th with no further notice. The face field application on 7th Avenue is adjourned until October 24th with no further notice. Finally, the Wellspring Adult Daycare on Hose Lane is adjourned until November 14th with no further notice. Those are all the changes that I have.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to item number 5. 24-ZB-19V, Sushma Sharma.
Is Sushma Sharma present?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, put your hand down, give us your name and address, and explain to the board why you're here.
My name is Sushma Sharma. The address is 1 Brook Hollow Road, Piscataway, New Jersey 08854. And I'm here to for the variance which I've applied for a shed.
Do you also want to keep an existing fence and accessory structures?
That's right. Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, you may want to talk to Mr. Mizrahi about his report.
Yes, good evening, everybody. So essentially, there are three accessory structures constituting about 240 square feet of area. I had someone representing the applicant stop by our office. They indicated a willingness to remove accessory structures as the board saw fit to reduce the overage on lot coverage. There's a few items in the staff report, including a condition that the fence may remain until it is ever replaced, repaired, or removed, that the fence must be installed in a conforming location, and all remaining accessory structures shall receive applicable permits and approvals from the building department. So if the applicant is agreeable to the terms laid out in the staff memo, I believe we can determine which accessory structures we'd like to have remain.
Ms. Sharma, are you agreeable with what Mr. Mizrahi wrote in his report?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mizrahi, do you have a recommendation with regard to the...
Kim, you're breaking up again.
Mr. Mizrahi, do you have any advice on the accessory structures?
Yes, according to my notes, Shed B was supposed to be removed on the 31st of August. Did that happen?
Yes, it is. It has.
Okay, so that reduces the building coverage by 85 square feet. And there was also a freestanding covered roof attached to that shed. Was that also removed?
Is it the gazebo you're talking about? There is the one gazebo type?
The gazebo that's attached to the shed.
No, the gazebo has not been removed. It's there. The shed behind the gazebo has been removed.
Okay, so that means there's two remaining non-conforming accessory structures with approximate square footage. So if the board would like to see one removed, that would greatly reduce the amount of overage on the building coverage for the lot. So that would be my recommendation.
So you're recommending that one additional be removed?
Yes.
Ms. Sharma, are you agreeable to removing another shed?
The shed? There are two, as per Jonathan, what he explained, there are two more structures, right? One has been removed, one has been removed out of the three. So there are only two more. One is the gazebo and one is a shed or a shed wherein we put in our, all the tools and everything. We have kept the tools and everything. So there are only two structures now.
So would you be agreeable to removing the gazebo?
Okay. I'm not sure on that because that's the place where we sit. But anyways, yes, if you say so that it has to be removed. So we can remove the shed where we have kept our tools. I don't know. Any one of them has to be removed.
Only one would have to be removed. I think if you have tools, it's okay to keep the shed. It's in a non-conforming location. So you'd have to agree that if the shed needs to be replaced, that you would locate it in a conforming location.
Yes.
But the gazebo would reduce the amount of building coverage that you have. So I would recommend that be removed.
Okay.
If they remove the gazebo and they've already removed the shed B, can you tell us what the lot coverage would be?
I could calculate that again, but it would take me a moment.
If the board is agreeable, we can get that figure tomorrow.
I would really appreciate if I'm allowed to keep both of them so that, but whatever the board says, I'll agree to that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, you may want to open it to the public to see if any members of the public want to speak.
Okay, I was going to open up to the board. Any board members have any questions or comments? Anyone from the public have any questions or comments?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Public portion is closed. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
About a second.
Roll call. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Ms. Sharma, your application has been approved as long as you remove the gazebo and you already removed the shed. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and send that to you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good okay, morning. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to item six.
I can leave the meeting now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to item number six. 24-ZB-44V, William Bender.
Is Mr. Bender present?
Right here.
Mr. Bender, I need to swear you in. Are you raising your hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
William Bender, 9 Harmony Street, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854. I'm requesting the granting of a bulk variance for my fence.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mizrahi has reported this matter.
Yeah, thank you. I want to clarify one or two points, Mr. Bender. This is an existing fence that you're trying to retain. Fantastic. Have you spoken with your neighbor at 14 Linden Street?
I sent them a letter out, but I'm in Florida, so I'm not there.
Okay, I understand.
In Florida right now, so.
I understand.
Yeah.
My concern with this application was the visibility of the neighbor coming out of the driveway, creating a safety concern. My recommendation or my thought was if the fence was brought in to be in line with the side of your dwelling, that would provide a safer site triangle for the neighborhood.
No one's ever said anything to me, so. you know, been there for 36 years.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, yeah, that's not seeking relief though. If I pull it all the way up to the line of my house, then I got to move the whole fence, which is what I'm trying to seek relief from
tonight. It would still be in a non-conforming location.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
By moving the fence to be in line with the house, we're still, it would still be relief from the total distance it would need to be. So we're meeting in the middle.
Well,
then you're required to have 35 feet and they're proposing 19 feet. That's what he means by relief.
Okay. I don't know how many feet it is right now to the street. Again, I'm not there. So that fence has been there since I bought the house in 88. So I just replaced it with a different fence. So I don't know what the regulations were originally.
Okay.
But again, my whole purpose was to try to not move the fence. That's why I'm trying to go through the variance here with you folks. So I don't know what else to say.
Okay, I don't have anything
to prove your case. You need to provide certain proofs why the board should do this. So far, you haven't provided those proofs, and if the board wanted to, they could deny the application because you hadn't provided any evidence.
Evidence of what in particular? What are you speaking of?
You need to justify the variance that you are seeking. And to do that, you have to provide the board with evidence, not just that you want it.
Evidence. Okay. I don't know. I tried to follow all the steps that were laid out. I'm not sure exactly when you say evidence, what else I was missing here.
You have to provide certain justifications under the land use law to justify granting a variance.
Again, I notified everybody. I don't know what else. The fence was there. I just replaced it. I notified all the neighbors. Nobody has any problems with it. It's not a line of sight issue on the corner, as I've been told from the memorandum from the zoning board. So I don't know what else I should have done, or what I could have done, or what I can do. I'm at a loss to understand that, I guess.
Did you get a fence permit to replace the old fence?
No, I did not. So again, that's why this whole thing ensued.
Okay, did the contractor say
anything? It was a contractor. It was a contractor, but I didn't know I needed another permit when the fence was already there and I just replaced it. So that's why that was the disconnect I had. I did not realize that it had to be re-permitted.
Under zoning, if you have something that's non-conforming and you remove it, then you lose that grandfathering. If you had repaired it, then it was pre-existing. That isn't what you did. You took the old one down and put a new one up.
Different fence, chain link.
I'm surprised the contractor didn't say something to you. Okay.
Again, a chain link would be allowed, though. 4-foot chain link, your corner is allowed to the property line. You put a solid fence up. That's where the issue was.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's part of the relief on here that I'm looking at the notice form. Proposed 6-foot vinyl fence located along the front yard property line and within the front yard setback. Proposed. That's what's on here. 21-6119.3.1. So I guess I'm just a little confused as to what you're saying and what I was supposed to do.
Let me try to help you out. You had a chain link fence. You just heard from Laura that was conforming to the ordinance.
Right.
4 feet high and it was open. Now you've got a 6-foot high fence, solid.
Right.
In the same location. The problem is that one does not conform the ordinance. You ought to think about what was offered to move the fence, what was it, to 19 feet from the right away?
Yeah.
And as opposed to 35 feet, which is what the ordinance requires, It's like a half a loaf here, and you might want to consider it. I don't think it's a big project to move that fence.
Well, if it's 35.
No, not what we're asking for. Yeah, we're asking for 19 feet.
Okay, 19 feet would take it to the line of the house. Is that what you stated prior?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm still moving the fence. All right, so that's pretty much where I started here. That I had to move the fence and try to get a variance. I didn't have to move the fence.
But what you don't understand is what the board attorney said to you is if it's rejected, you have to eliminate it altogether.
Right, I understand that. I understand now. If it's 35 feet, there is no fence. It's got to all come down because...
No, forget the 35. We're talking about 19 feet.
Right, but that's why I'm here to move it from... You're saying from the 35 to the 19 proposed instead of 35, so which is the zone. The
board has offered you a compromise.
Okay, 19. Okay, right. Okay. If that's all that can be offered to me, I don't know what else to say. And I guess that's what you folks are saying. So, I guess I have to settle for that, then it's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Does any board members have any questions or comments? Okay. Anyone from the public have any questions or comments?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. I make a motion to approve this application. I need a second.
I'll second.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Tillery?
Yes.
Your application has been approved as amended. We will prepare a written document and submit the document to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item number 9. 24-CB-41V, VentureNet Properties, LLC.
Good evening, members of the board professionals. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey. I'm here representing VentureNet. This is for a property located at 425 Hose Lane. You may recall approximately 5 months ago, we were in front of you and you were gracious enough to grant us a temporary zoning permit to utilize one of the two existing buildings that are on the site to store materials. Just to remind you, my client is a home furnishing company. They want to use this property at 425 Hose Lane as their North American headquarters. They sell home furnishing, furniture, things of that nature. We want to ultimately turn that property into not only their headquarters, but also a showroom and a whole bunch of different site improvements, sort of similar to the FW Webb building, if you're familiar with that in Piscataway. We are diligently working on that site plan. Our engineers are Menlo engineers. They hope to be done the actual full site plan drawings within about a month's time. So we're confident that we're going to be able to submit our full site plan application before the end of the year. But the delay was because of the new 2023 flood hazard rules. We had to do all new surveying of the site, flood hazard surveying, and that just took longer than what was expected. So we're asking tonight essentially for two things. Number one is we're asking for an extension of that 6-month temporary use. That way it'll allow us to have that additional time to get our full site plan in. Again, we feel that we're confident we're going to get it in before the end of the year, but that 6 months gives us a bit of a buffer for the staff to then review it and for us to actually have a hearing within that time period. So that's ask number one. The other ask is you had allowed us to, there's two existing buildings, building one and building two. You had allowed us at the, with the original temporary use permit to do internal fit outs of building number two and use that to store product. We're not moving anything back and forth on the site. We're just storing our product there and doing an internal fit out of the building. And we've done that to building number two, and we're storing our product there now. The reasoning for that was the was what it was back 5 months ago, which is obviously we're trying to make the most efficient use of time and do things on the site that we can hopefully do at our own risk, obviously, before we get in front of you for full site plan approval. So that's all been done. So we're asking you if you would consider extending that temporary use to building number one and allow us to do a fit out, an internal fit out of building number one, and to be able to statically store materials there as well during this time period while we're getting our site plan in front of the board. We recognize, my client recognizes, that if you were to grant that, it would be entirely at our own risk, such that if you denied our site plan, or if you if the board required, or the board professionals required amendments to our site that affects something that we've already installed or put in or built, it would be our, you know, we would be on the dime to change that and to amend it. And that might just be potentially money wasted. And my client is aware of that. So we have two staff reports, and I think we can address all the questions in the staff reports. And I do have only one witness, and that is Mr. James Chen, who is here. He is our architect. He's also here as a representative of VentureNet. And so I would ask if we can have him sworn in. I think we can go through the reports fairly quickly. And that's all I got.
Mr. Chen, could you raise your right hand? I swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. Your name and address, please.
My name is James Wu Chen, 29 L Park Road, Princeton, New Jersey. New Jersey is 08540.
Okay.
I'm a principal of JWC Architect Engineer.
Thank you. I would ask that Mr. Chen be accepted as an expert in architecture. He was previously, I believe, at the last hearing we had on this.
I don't recall him testifying before the board, Mr. Rich.
I believe he did at the original temporary use, but in any event, I would ask him to be recognized as a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
And you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think you can accept him as an architect.
Yes. Yes. He's fine. Yes.
Okay. First question, James, is you heard my introduction. Is everything that I said in my introduction accurate as you are aware of the site?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We do have two reports, and so we'll go over those two very quickly. One of which is I'm calling it the tri-party report, the one that's signed by Dawn Corcoran, Joe Herrera, and John Mishrahi. That was dated August 21st, 2024. I want to just go through that with you very briefly. So the first question was testimony should be provided as to why we are seeking extension. I think I covered that in my introduction, but we need that additional time to get the site plan together. And we feel that we should be able to do that by the end of the year. Is that correct, James?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Number two says the previous approval indicated that there would be no storage of any hazardous materials within the building. We would agree, number one, there is no hazardous materials, and we would agree to continue not storing any hazardous materials. And if they granted us the ability to utilize the other building in a similar matter, we would do the same and agree as a condition that there would be no hazardous materials. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Number three is indicating that the application has to be approved by the Township Fire Commissioner. Same as we did with the first building, you agree that we will have to work with the Township's Fire Commissioner to make sure that it's up to fire code and that it is up to his satisfaction in terms of safety. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And one of the comments here is it indicates from the demolition plans that the fire suppression systems are proposed to be removed. It's not the entirety of the fire suppression systems. If you can just very briefly explain what we are proposing in that other building to do as part of the demolition.
I'm happy to. The building number one had a two-story, currently it's a two-story structure. And each story had about 13 feet the ceiling high from the floor to the structure deck. And given the mechanical space and the drop the ceiling, and the clearance of the structure is not enough for the client to store the material what they're seeking for. So we are proposing to remove part of the second floor structure, a portion of the structure, enable to us to provide a higher ceiling. And in fact, we'll be losing about 20,000 square foot of the area by doing so. That's the reason the second floor, the first floor portion of the sprinkler system, it will be removed in conjunction with the structural removal.
Okay.
But the second floor sprinkler system will remain, and it will be modified to provide adequate fire protection for the entire facility.
Okay, so we're not removing the entire fire suppression system, and we are going to make sure that it is modified and working properly for the interior fit out that we're proposing, correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. And I believe the last question was just a timing schedule so that to ensure that no further extensions are necessary. What I said was correct, that we anticipate that we will absolutely be putting in a full site plan application by the end of the year. And given that, we won't need to request any additional extensions. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to jump over to Mr. Chadwick's report dated September 5th. There were three comments. I think we've pretty much hit upon all of them, but I just want to
Think you have two.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. I have no further questions at this time of Mr. Chen.
Okay. Does any board members have any questions or comments? Hearing none.
I got one. You mentioned the fire commissioners. I believe it's the fire marshal who has to approve everything. Just to make sure, is that what we're talking about?
We will certainly work with any fire official that has jurisdiction. I believe it's the marshal. It's Piscataway's fire marshal that I believe has the sign off. So I apologize. Right. I was just reading.
There's two jurisdictions: the fire subcode official and the fire marshal.
Okay.
And we agree to satisfy obviously any official that has any jurisdiction over those safety concerns.
That's all I have. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mr. Hillary, on behalf of the township, a concern has been raised about the amount of truck traffic that would be involved if they end up storing things in both building 2 and building 1 without a site plan. I'm not sure that we've heard any evidence from the applicant that justifies extending the storage to building 1, because that would vastly increase the amount of storage space and truck traffic. We don't have a site plan here. Perhaps the applicant can address that concern.
Certainly. James, in terms of what we're asking to do to fit out the building 1 is basically what we is the same thing that we did to building 2 originally, which is modify it to just store items there.
Total is 48.74.
Not to utilize it as a distribution center where items are going to be going in and then going out and going in and going out. This is purely going to be a static storage usage until and if at full site plan approval to allow any other uses on that site. Is that correct?
That is correct. The main distribution, the receiving and the assemble and the shipping, it will be on the building number 3, which is we are waiting for the finalized site plan, and which we just got a clear completed the new flood study. So we have a clear finish elevation to complete the building design.
Correct. So no type of, there's not going to be any sort of distribution or any sort of truck traffic coming in and out of the site until we would get any sort of site plan approval. This would merely be to fit out that building 1 during that during the time period of site plan approval and just use it to store materials, because if we weren't storing them there, they would have to be stored someplace off site, which would be an additional cost, an additional burden, and would ultimately have to come onto the site anyway at some point in the future. So doing it now versus doing it then doesn't actually generate any additional truck traffic than what would be, we would essentially just be postponing that down the road.
Yeah, your statement is absolutely correct.
One of the elements of a temporary use permit is that the applicant can show that there will be a detrimental effect upon uses and activities. I don't think that the applicant has demonstrated satisfaction of that aspect in order to use the second building for storage. Clearly, to store things there, there have to be deliveries that will vastly increase the number of deliveries to the site. And without site plan approval, I don't believe that that aspect of the temporary use ordinance is that. I have no objection to granting extension of the temporary use for the single building.
I think I got what you said, Mr. Keneally. You were cutting in and out there a little bit, but I think I understood what you said. James, if I could, and I don't know if my is the client on the call as well? I just want to confirm if they're on as well, just so that they can hear.
Hey, Debbie and Thomas, are you both there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Thomas not here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you were on. So just so that you understand, I believe what Mr. Keneally is indicating is that the township is not necessarily comfortable at this point under a temporary use permit to extend the amount of storage and the amount of work being done on the site from one building to two buildings without a full site plan coming in. And so what I think what the suggestion is that they will grant the extension of the existing temporary use permit so that we can still utilize the building number two that was already fit out and is already storing materials. But they want to wait until we get a full site plan in so that they can fully assess the site before they're allowing any additional construction and storage on the site. I believe that's what Mr. Keneally was indicating. I apologize if I've misinterpreted that at any point.
No, you are correct. I'm sorry, I was breaking it.
That's all right.
Yes.
Would you be okay with that, considering that we're very close to being able to put that site plan application in? I think it makes essentially is the difference between maybe a couple months at most. Is that something that's maybe acceptable?
Yes, that's okay.
Okay. So Mr. Keneally, I believe that if the board were able to grant the extension of the existing zoning permit, we would be agreeable to that and not extending it to the other building. And that'll be more motivation to get the site plan in even quicker.
And that addresses all of my legal concern about this application.
I don't know if there's any other board members that have anything or if.
Okay.
Any members.
Does anyone from the public have any questions or comments?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
Second.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Arch, we'll memorialize this in our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Okay. Moving on to item number 10, 24-ZB-05/06V, Solaire America Limited Liability Company.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Peter Chicanius. I am an attorney at the law firm of Highland Levin Shapiro. My office represents the applicant of Solaire America LLC. This is for the property located at 555 New Durham Road, also known as Block 8501, Lot 45.02. There's currently a Wawa on this site, the convenience store and the gas canopies, obviously. And the application that is before the board tonight is very, very simple. We're simply looking to install solar panels on the gas canopy of that Wawa. Technically, because the Wawa itself is not a permitted use within the R10 zone, which is where this property is located, we will need a use variance in the sense that we're expanding an existing non-conforming use. And we need a variance from section 21-501. In addition, solar panels, according to the township's code, are conditionally permitted as on all principal structures within the township, I believe, or in certain in this particular zone. However, this is being installed on an accessory structure. So we need a variance from section 21-1014.3A. I would note again that this is a very simple application. Again, we're simply installing solar panels on top of that gas canopy. I would note that per Mr. Chadwick's review letter dated August 23rd of this year, it notes that the solar is an inherently beneficial use, which typically takes care of the positive criteria relative to a variance of any kind. And it says in his letter, quote, only negative impacts are to be addressed and there are no negative impacts, which we would agree with 100%. I would also note that in the letter from the Division of Engineering and Planning and Development dated August 22nd of this year, it says, quote, the proposed solar installation is an inherently beneficial use. So it also acknowledges that the positive criteria is essentially met here. And then it says, quote, will have a minimal visual impact on the site. With that said, I do have one witness with me here today. That is Mr. John Scorsone, who is the principal over at Solar America. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, can we have to swear you in? Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
The testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
My name is John Scorsone, president of Solar America. My address is 207 South State Road, Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, 19082.
Thank you.
Okay, John, we've done this a few times in a couple different townships, so you know the drill. Please introduce yourself,
yes.
Describe your role at Solar America, and let the board know what we're looking to do here.
Good evening. My name is John Scorsone. I am president of Solar America. We are partnered with Wawa to install solar on all gas canopies in New Jersey. We currently have developed over 135 already in the state. And as Peter alluded to, we've done quite a few of these meetings in the last few years. And what we're looking to do per our contract with Wawa and our partnership is to utilize the gas canopies to produce renewable energy for the stores and exclusively the stores. Our canopies, usually our solar canopy project pretty much on average provides about 20% of the Wawa power.
Okay, and describe a bit how the process works, how the canopies are installed. And, I think they're going to be located about, 6 inches technically above the, or what is the measurement there?
That's exactly right. So they are attached directly to the existing roof, which is a metal roof, a standing seam roof. So our racking is attached to the metal roof, and the panels are attached to the racking. Approximately, it follows the exact angle of the roof. It does not protrude over it or in any on the sides, the tops, or the bottom. It stays within the footprint of the roof, approximately about 6 inches off the existing roof between the roof and the panel.
Okay, and there's no danger of any kind of glare or anything like that with the panels?
No, so it's a misnomer. We get a lot in these meetings. Solar panels actually absorb light. They do not reflect light. So yes, there is no reflection whatsoever. It's actually the exact opposite. And also we use all existing infrastructure. So there's no new infrastructure going in. So all current conduit that's required for the project is already installed per the construction of the building. pre-installed, so we're not adding anything except for the panels.
And all wiring and things like that, that's located underground, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I think that concludes my direct testimony. We would invite questions from the board or the board professionals.
Could someone address the rest of the comments in the staff report dated August 22nd, 2024, to address number one, but no one's discussed.
Mr. Keenly, if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, I'm having trouble hearing you. You're kind of breaking up.
Yeah, it broke up on me too.
I apologize. Could you address Mr. Mizrahi's report dated August 22nd, 2024?
Yeah, if you could address my report that I signed with Don and Joe.
The first item, I think it just, again, I've quoted it already. It mentions that this will have, it's inherently beneficial to use and will have minimal visual impact on site. I can say, and John, you can confirm that the applicant has no problem with item number two, securing all necessary approvals and permits through the building department and the fire commissioner. That's no problem.
Agreed.
Items three through five are a bit tougher simply because that's a bit beyond the applicant. We are not the owners of the property. Wawa does own the property. So it's tough for us to say that we'll remove any dead or missing landscaping, can fix the broken concrete or any faded striping simply because it's not within our power to do so.
So I can answer.
If you have a relationship with Wawa, then you can tell Wawa that they need to take care of these things.
Yes, so I can answer those three. So our construction will not remove or damage any existing landscaping whatsoever. It would also not damage or remove or any existing asphalt or concrete. We are not in any. We're not adding anything to the site except for panels to the roof. So those items would not be an issue for the construction whatsoever. None. It is not applicable to this installation.
No, but the items remain necessary to clean up the site. And to the extent that Wawa wants this to happen, they should agree to provide. And I'm not sure you're going to get an approval.
Of course. Well, I'm just saying it's a moot point because none of those.
John, very quickly. So, can you hear me now? Obviously, we're not saying no. Again, if the board wants
we're not saying no.
Wants to condition the approval upon those three items, that's
agree.
Fine. We can't necessarily disagree with that, but that's the board's pleasure.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Great.
And I think that addresses all of the comments on both of the review letters.
I don't have any further comments.
Okay. Does any board members have any questions or comments?
Yes. He did say that they were comply with the should be fire marshal, not the inspector's fire marshal in regards to the installation or anything with the township.
Yes,
is that correct?
That we need through the building department or the fire marshal, fire commissioner, whatever the appropriate positional term is there, we agree with that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other board members have any questions or comments? Does anyone from the public have any questions or comments?
I keep muting myself. I'm sorry. No one, Chairman.
Okay. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I ask for a second?
Second.
Where am I here? Hold on. Yes, Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Mr. Ruscio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie? There he is. He's driving. Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And Mr. Chairman Tillery?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in our next meeting and send a copy to you. Good luck.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, everybody on the board.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Item number 12, 24-BB-42/43V, Fox and Fox Development, LLC.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Kevin Morse, attorney, Woodbridge, New Jersey. I'm appearing this evening on behalf of the applicant, Fox and Fox Development, LLC. Subject property is block 1401, lot 2, located on 9 Stelton Road in Piscataway. The applicant is proposing to demolish the existing structure at the subject property and to construct two separate townhouse buildings. Each of those buildings will contain 6 units. Those units will be 2-bedroom units. So in the total, there would be the construction of 12 2-bedroom townhouse units. I did submit our affidavits of publication and mailing previously. I wanted to confirm that they have been received and that they are in order so that the board has jurisdiction to proceed this evening.
They were received. They are in order and the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you. I have 2 witnesses this evening. One will be Stephen Fox, who is testifying on behalf of the applicant, one of the principals. And I have Angelo Vallatuto, who will be testifying both as our professional engineer and our professional planner. If Steve Fox could please be sworn.
Mr. Fox, could you raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
My address is 940 Amboy Avenue, Suite 101, Edison, New Jersey, 08837.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Fox, you are a principal or one of the owners of the applicant Fox and Fox Development LLC. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the applicant is a licensed builder in the state of New Jersey. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And you are also a licensed realtor in the state of New Jersey. Is that correct?
That is also correct.
And you have been involved in both of those businesses for, I think, about 32 years now?
Yes.
All right. Now, the business of the company, and you have a business partner, Bob Fox, that's the 2X's who you've been in business this entire time with, correct?
Correct.
You're in the business of 2 things. Number one, you are builders of new homes and buildings predominantly Middlesex County, is that right?
Correct.
And in addition to that, you also have residential real estate holdings, I understand about 150 units that you, various different buildings in Middlesex County that you self-manage and run as part of your business. Is that also correct?
That is correct.
All right. Now, you had the pleasure of testifying before this board back in 2018. The board may recall at a property right up the street, 19 Stelton Road, not far from this subject property, where you received approval and built a beautiful mixed-use building with residential units above and commercial use below, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that building has been up and running for years, and I understand it's been very well received in the Piscataway community. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, the proposal before the board this evening is for the construction of, as I said, 12 two-bedroom townhouses in total. Is that right?
Yes.
And these will be units that will be offered for sale. Is that correct, at market? Yes.
For sale, yep.
All right. Now, I understand that you have a color rendering. Our architect wasn't available this evening, but can you share a screen and pop up a color rendering of the
yep. building? Give me a second.
I see that you're as computer literate as I am.
Kevin, I played with it for 10 minutes and I called help.
You like
that? Okay. Is that good, Kev?
I can't see anything, so I don't know.
Laura, could you allow me to share screen?
Yeah, you can. You just said share screen on the bottom. It should be able to come right up.
We did.
Here, I'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Share.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, good. Okay. So this is one of the 6-unit buildings. This is the front facade. And Kevin and board members, I could scroll when you want me to scroll, Kevin, okay?
Yeah, so this obviously gives a depiction of some of the colors, although it doesn't come across exactly as great as when I look at it as a PDF. Flip over, if you could, for the board. Just
before you do that, yeah. Is this the same rendering that was filed with the board? I don't recall shutters on the front facade.
Correct.
No, so thank you, Mr. Chadwick. We should have this marked as A1 for identification, if that would be acceptable to board council?
Yes, it is.
All right. So, Steve, just for the record, we're getting ahead of ourselves. What you have produced here is A1. This is, from what I understand, a color rendering of the architectural plan that was submitted in this before the board. However, certain enhancements have been added to what was previously submitted to the board. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. According to Mr. Chadwick's letter, we applied all of his comments to this new rendering.
All right. So, for example, there are shutters on the front of the building now that were added from the original plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
And I believe you have some side elevations. Yep. If you could flip to that.
Also the left and the right side, we added more windows as per Mr. Chadwick's comments.
Okay.
And are there shutters there as well?
Yes, sir. Yep, they're right there.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Okay. So this is a depiction of what we intend on building. Now, look, our engineer is going to testify regarding the site details, and he will go through the bulk of the three professional reports that we have. But some of the items require your testimony. So I'm going to direct our attention to the in-house memo of the Division of Engineering. That's dated September 23rd. Item four, you've confirmed the units will be for sale. Please tell us how trash and recycling will occur. That would be item six of that memo.
Yes, what we plan on doing with the trash and recycling is, of course, this will be a for sale condo unit. So there'll be a condo association. And with that, we will hire our garbage company that maintains all of our properties. We'll provide one garbage pail and one recycling pail that homeowners will store in their garages. And nights before pickup, they will be put in a paver pad area right outside their driveway.
Okay. Now, moving on to item 13 of that memo, there was a request for the pavers between the driveways being replaced with landscaping. We can accommodate most of that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We'll change it over to landscaping. But like I said, we just want a little bit of a pad to be able to place those recycling and garbage pails on for the days that they need to be picked up.
Okay. So we can make that adjustment as you've stated. Yes. Item 14 of the memo talks about additional amenities, a lock and grill, some tables and benches near the gazebo. Is the applicant prepared, should the board look favorably, to add those additional items to the satisfaction of the board?
Absolutely. We think that's a great idea also.
And you're willing to coordinate the gazebo color scheme in a manner to complement the architecture of the two buildings to be worked through with the municipal officials. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. And then item 15, I think you've sort of covered it already. And this is also dovetails into Mr. Chadwick's memo, but this is some color, some additional items. And if the board looked favorably on the application, Mr. Fox, would the applicant prepared to take what you've started already and otherwise finalize this in terms of the color schemes, shutters, and so forth to the satisfaction of the staff's concerns?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, and for the record, this was produced to address the comments 3, 4, and 5 of Mr. Chadwick's memo dated September 17th. And our professional will cover the rest of this. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So, look, I have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, at this time of Mr. Fox. He will be available through the entire hearing. Some of these were testimony items he needed to complete with regard to the memos. Mr. Valletudo is going to testify about the site plan and the rest of the memos. So if you want to have Mr. Fox stand down and ask them questions now or wait until we complete the rest of the engineering presentation and hold questions, we leave that up to you.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so then you can stand down for the moment, Mr. Fox, and stand by. And I will next call Angelo Valletudo, who happens to be sitting next to me in my office, because he's another computer literate person, and he figured he wouldn't have to get blamed if he couldn't log in. So I've got him with me, and I would ask that he be sworn, please.
You swear that
you're about to give, it's coming across unclear, but
you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, sir, I do. Angelo,
your name and address, please.
Sure. Angelo J. Valletudo, Valletutto, 424 Amboy Avenue, Woodbridge, New Jersey, 07095. Licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner, state of New Jersey. Both
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Valletudo has accepted as an expert planner and engineer before this board.
Yes, I found them both accepted. Yes.
All right. So then,
thank you.
So you're accepting me as an expert in both professional engineering and professional planning, just so the record's clear, and we thank you.
Yes.
All right, so Mr. Valletudo, you prepared the site plan that is before the board this evening, is that correct?
I did, with the assistance of a licensed surveyor, and of course, Mr. Fox and the architect.
All right, can you please describe the property as it exists and the proposed development?
Sure. The property, as is shown on sheet one of the site plan that was submitted, is on the easterly side of Stelton Road, having a frontage of 134.36 feet in the front, and it narrows only slightly at the back, easterly side, 133.56. Similar, it's not a complete square, so the depth varies from 214.88 feet on its northerly side down up to 220 feet on its southerly side. The property did have a structure on it that was removed, and there is also fairly extensive paving throughout the property. As part of the application, we intend to demolish all of the site improvements. And as is shown on sheet number two, and as presented by you in the opening comments and Mr. Fox, we're proposing two structures that pretty much mirror each other, with having the six units, each two bedrooms, each being three stories, and that the area of which is a center aisle of 24 feet, whereas all of the units will have access into a one-car garage and additional parking space outside of it in their driveway. There's also going to be a total of five additional parking spaces, one being the van accessible handicap spaces at the northwest section of our parking lot. And on the flip side, on the northeast side, is two spaces. And then there are two spaces that are proposed that are in the proximity of the gazebo that was as submitted. However, as is usually the case when we go through the board, both with the board professionals and then the board itself, we'll be making further enhancements so as to satisfy the comments.
All right. Now, egress and ingress to the site is solely from Stelton Road, is that correct?
That is correct. It's in the similar proximity of the southerly portion of the property where there now is. And as part of the board approval, we are seeking, obviously, all of the site improvements of curbing, paving, landscaping, lighting, as well as everything within Stelton Road, which is a county road. And if we receive the benefit of the approval from the board, we will immediately move on to entering the portal of Middlesex County to seek their approval, as they are the only outside agency that we will require once we get hopefully the approval from the board this evening.
All right, generally drainage at the site, how is that handled?
Drainage is handled with regard to internally, there's gonna be a seepage design that we acknowledge is under the purview of both the Joe Herrera from the municipality, as well as Charlie Carley, who has also authored a report that we will be addressing later.
All right. Now, will there be any negative drainage impacts on adjacent or neighboring properties as a result of this proposed development of the property?
No, sir. None whatsoever. The design, as will be further reviewed and approved by Mr. Carley, will prove that we are handling our drainage on site within the seepage pits. And Mr. Fox, as he is typically ahead of his time, he's already gotten us the various information with percolation tests and all, so we can provide that to both Mr. Herrera and Mr. Carley for purposes of their review and analysis to show that we meet all of the standards that are required for what we are proposing.
Right now, there was a comment in one of the memos about lighting on the site. If you could touch on that, please.
Sure. Lighting is shown on what else? The lighting and landscaping sheet, and shows the coverage and comments. And maybe if you like, we'll go through it. We'll comply in total to satisfy the comment by the professional or professionals who had made comment regarding the lighting.
And with regard to the number of parking spaces, I understand that 28 spaces are required. This application provides 29 parking spaces, so we're compliant with the parking ordinance and REESUS. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
All right, so I'd like to direct your attention to the various memos. First, your attention to the September 25, 2024 memo issued by DNR, Mr. Carley. We had the opportunity to review this memo together with the applicant today. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right. Number one, you can just comment.
Well, do we want to go one by one, or do we want to just say we can comply with 1 through 6 in total to receive the benefit of the approval? With regard to number 7 and number 8, they're both statements of fact. With regard to the number 9, we will comply in total. We thought that we did have all of the proper construction details, but we either flip-flopped one or whatever, but we would comply in total. Similar with regard to number 10, we'll provide the information in total, which is after construction, showing the various conditions as they exist after construction. And then number 11, we'll comply, we'll meet with the engineering supervisor, Mr. Herrera, I believe, with regard to if there is a logistic plan being offered. And that's something we'll work in conjunction with Mr. Fox, who, as you've heard already, has worked within, I guess, just about 200 feet or less of the subject property, and has the experience, and certainly we'll be able to satisfy that in total. And then the pre-construction meeting is also something we'll comply in total. And number 13 is the outside agencies, which we will comply, or if not, provide sufficient proof to Mr. Carley that there is no need for an approval from that particular agency.
All right, so we have the entire contents of that memo covered then. Let me direct your attention next to the memorandum of the Piscataway Division of Engineering. That's dated September 23rd. Number 1, affordable housing obligations. I can tell the board that the applicant has spoken to the appropriate municipal official about its requirement for affordable housing. We are prepared to comply with that. Items 2 and 3, Mr. Valletudo, will comply with those.
Yeah, we're both compliant. Mr. Carley's word, he already did. And then it makes reference to a fire commissioner, but I know that there are typically 2 individuals, one person who does the inspection of a site prior to it's built, and then once it's in play with the building permit, it's handled with the fire inspector within the municipality.
All right.
Number 4 was already testified that it was going to be for sale. Number 5, you indicated that we meet the REESUS parking standards. Number 6, Mr. Fox had already indicated with regard to how to trash and recycling. Number 7 and 8, we will comply in total. And those are with regard to the fiber optic conduits, so that the city will be prepared that any fiber optics can be installed underground. We will comply in total with number 9, 10, and 11. And I believe Mr. 12 and 13, Mr. Fox has already testified.
Well, 12 actually is for you. If you can just confirm as to whether a TWA permit is necessary for this application.
I'm sorry, we skipped over number 12. The answer is no. With the DEP for TWA, you would have to either have an 8-inch pipe come into your property, or to have an additional flow of 8,000 gallons per day. Under the 12 two-bedroom townhouse units, it's 225 gallons per day based on the state requirements. It comes up to only 2,700 gallons, and that's for the new proposal. So we're under 8,000, and we don't even have to require to get a credit for what was on the prior, which was only just under 270. But we're well under the 8,000 trigger for a DEP TWA permit.
Okay. And then items 13, 14, and 15, Mr. Fox has already testified to, and we've made our representations with regard to that. And you've already touched on, we'll submit to the Middlesex County Planning Board should we receive the benefit of approval. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Almost immediately, knowing Mr. Fox, he has me on speed dial and probably call me, hopefully, once we get our approval to move that quick to get it through.
All right. Now, with regard to Mr. Chadwick's memo, that is dated September 17th. When we're concluding your engineering testimony, you will present planning testimony to address item one. Item two, again, the affordable housing, the applicant has prepared to comply with that.
Can I interrupt 1 second? You said you had met with someone at the township. You come out with a just shy of three units. Are you just going to round up?
I didn't have that discussion. I know that it's been suggested that we provide one moderate, one low, and then there's going to be a monetary payment to satisfy the obligation. Whatever it ultimately turns out to be, we will comply with the requirements by
Did you discuss with your client what that monetary payment
yes.
might be? Because I think I did the calc. It's 2.8 units. It's 15% of 12, right?
Right.
Okay, which comes out 2.8. If you're going to pay 0.8 of a unit, you're talking about a substantial number.
Yeah, I don't know what was if the discussions were finalized, but again, suffice to say, the applicant will work with the municipal official that orchestrates the affordable housing to that person's satisfaction, understanding there is going to be a monetary payment in addition to the unit designations.
And Mr. Chadwick, that's my understanding as well.
I'm sorry, Jim. I could not.
That's my understanding as well.
Okay. If you stay closer to your mic, it seems like it's clearer.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Now, items 3, 4, and 5, we've already talked about with Mr. Fox and the color rendering and what we're prepared to do with that. Item 6, Mr. Valentino, you'll adjust any.
Number 6, we'll comply with regard to number 7. We will shift the two parking spaces back to align them pretty much with the parking spaces for the building in the back so that those two spaces won't have as lengthy a backup or make it more of a challenge for drivers. That will also have the benefit of further decreasing our pavement impervious area and be able to lessen
provide a little more outdoor space is what it really does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're prepared to do that. And then item eight, the lighting plan. I don't know that we showed illumination on the front of the building.
We will comply. Typically, it's what I like to refer to as mood lighting, that the architect tells us what the lights are, and then based on that, we'll show them on our plan so as to show all the lighting, not only for the parking and the access roads, but also for the front of the buildings based on what the architect has designed.
Okay.
You're not going to put any spotlights on these buildings, right?
No, sir.
Good.
As right. I call the mood lighting.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Thank you.
All right. So that would conclude our engineering or physical testimony about the site. Again, Mr. Fox and or Mr. Valletudo, if we have questions now, and then I will be calling Mr. Valletudo, asking him to switch gears and present his planning testimony. So I don't know if there's any questions at this point the board would like us to entertain, or I'll move on.
I did have one or two points that I'd like to receive some clarification on, specifically from the Division of Engineering, Planning and Development staff memorandum. In regards to items 3 and item 6, would it be possible to generate a truck turning diagram proving that there's sufficient space for a fire truck to get in and out of the site, as well as a trash and recycling vehicle?
Most definitely.
Fantastic.
Yes.
In regards to item 15, was the building height addressed in the comments, revisions based on Mr. Chadwick's comments? Or are you still proposing 38.09 feet in height?
No, the building height has not been changed. We have started to make some alterations, i.e. shutters, some different window to add some improved interest, as it were. And I don't think we're finalized yet, but obviously this applicant is prepared to make adjustments. And I think, as he has in the past, he can work with the municipal officials to finalize the that part of it, the facade, the colors, and so forth. But the height remains the same.
Okay. And my last comment was regards to number 5. I recognize the testimony identifying that the standards have been met for parking on site. I was hoping to receive a little bit more clarity on the times of extenuating need for celebrations, family events, things of that nature, where there'd be a temporary increased need, where you envision the parking facilities for that to be.
Kevin, you want me to jump in?
Yeah, Steve, if you could handle that, because you have tremendous experience in this county with you built other townhouses like this, you have commercial properties, you have residential right. units. So yeah, if you could follow up on that, Steve.
Yes. So with regard to that issue, in our experience, and we just recently got approval for Greenbrook for 85 residential units that's sitting over 10,000 square foot of retail. And there was a big controversy about the EV credit that is going on and whether there's enough parking or not. And it's the same answer that we've experienced, that these situations tend to work themselves out. So as far as celebrations, as far as parties, graduations, and so forth, people that are looking to buy these units are going to go into our unit complex. They're going to see driveways. They're going to see the amount of parking. There's going to be signs visible for guest parking. And people that live that lifestyle probably won't buy this unit. And in our experience, with the square footages of these units and the price point, generally those type of people will find other means of celebrating, whether it's out at a restaurant or other people's homes. I live in a little larger home, being 56 years old and, you know, putting in my time. And I know my niece and nephew a lot of times have their celebrations at my house or my parents' house that in their 80s. So it ends up working itself out.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's no further questions at this point, with the board's permission, I'll have Mr. Valletudo switch gears and ask him to produce his planning analysis.
Does any other board members have any questions or comments?
All right. So, Mr. Valletudo, you've also now had the opportunity to analyze proposed development from the standpoint of professional planning. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
I would ask you to detail your analysis, your findings for the board, any opinions that you have reached or conclusions and the basis for those for the board's digestion. Thank you.
As we usually do, and as is required when working with you, Mr. Fox, we go through the analysis of the application from, you just asked, the planning perspective, visited site, walked around the area, the latest being this morning through the raindrops, reviewed the zoning ordinance and master plan, the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law. And what I found in my last visitation for tonight's meeting was there was a variety of uses. And one of the things that seemed to be what appears is that a number of what I believe are the BP2 business professional zone uses appear to be where most of the vacancies are. We do have, I believe it's a three-family house on the opposite side of the street, closer to the next intersection. I think it's Lakeview. That was there. Across the street from there is an automobile shop. As you continue down, there is a church property that at least has a sign up. There was no activity at all. Next to that's a funeral parlor. On our side of the street, next to us, is a veterinary hospital. Then we have on 19 or between the vet, there's a building under construction. I can't tell what it's going to be for. Right now, all it is a concrete slab, and they have the pipes coming out. So I can't tell if it's for residential, and if it is, it's going to be for apartments or townhomes because of what I see as a layout. Then beyond that is the 19 Stelton, which you had indicated, one that was built by the applicant. And then as you go further on, there are a number of residential, single family and small other business uses. Then there's a large property that appeared to be a school. And that is the one that has a number of signs up there for purposes of for people to come in and to occupy them. So there is a mixture. And then, of course, as you continue Stelton towards going towards 287, that's where you're really getting to the heart of the business and retail type uses. The property, as we've been talking, is located in the BP2 business professional zone, as has been identified in the professional reports and in your opening comments. We're seeking a use variance approval since the proposal for the development of the property for townhouses is not listed as a permitted use in the zone, which is primarily the commercial use in that BP zone. There's also the bulk variances that were approved, were being sought, and they were identified in a report we had received from the zoning officer. First is with regard to the building height, where we have 35 feet is the maximum permitted, and what we're showing at the moment is 38.09. I know that Mr. Fox is in the process of modifying facade and all, but I do not believe, based on my conversation with him, that the 38.09 feet is going to be modified. There's also, with regard to front yard setback, principal building, where 25 feet is the minimum required. There's a 17.5 feet distance that is proposed to the landing on the porch, and then a 15-foot setback from the steps where it goes above what the ground is. With regard to the use variance, in my opinion, the requisite criteria exists to justify the applicant's request for the use variance approval under the positive criteria or special reasons, also known by achieving the goals under the Municipal Land Use Law 40:55D-2. I offer the following are met. Letter A, to encourage a municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Letter C, to provide adequate light, air, and open space. Letter G, to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses, and open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements, in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. And letter M, to encourage the coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to a more efficient use of the land. In my opinion, with the reasons they are advanced. The area where the subject property is located contains a number, as I've just testified earlier, of vacant uses and buildings that are in need, that in my opinion are what would be referred to as tired and in need of being updated and spruced up. And in my opinion, the proposed development would be a better use of the subject property and provides the infusion of new buildings, which would be both appropriate and will be positive for the surrounding area as well. The proposed density that we have, in my opinion, is consistent with the other uses that are intended for the area, as well as what have been developed, and the proposed construction will continue, in my opinion, to vitalize the area by virtue of it meeting the side and rear setbacks. It meets the adequate light, air, and open space, not the variances with regard to the front, but we are within that 60-foot right of way, and that provides where there's no adverse impact, in my opinion, to any adjoining property from their light, air, and open space. In terms of particular suitability of the site, subject property is located in an area that contains various other uses, which include the residential uses, as I indicated. And the example that it would not be testimony without utilizing it is the one that was developed by the applicant, located at 19 Stelton Road, which was approved by this board in 2019, in which I had the honor of testifying as the planner on that application. It is in close proximity and functions well within the neighborhood. And we believe that with this one, if we received approval, it would act as a bookend and just add to what we hope will be a continued stimulus to the development of new structures, or at minimum improvements to the existing structures that can utilize it. Property size, in my opinion, can appropriately accommodate the proposed development of townhouses with the only de minimis bulk variance relief, as we mentioned earlier. This section of Stelton Road and the subject property are located in close proximity to recreational areas and municipality, within walking distance, I might suggest, and that the for those reasons, in my opinion, the subject property is particularly suited for the proposed development of the townhouses. In terms of the enhanced quality of proof, as such, this application is not, in my opinion, inconsistent with the master plan and zoning ordinance, as has been proven by what the developer has done at 19 Stelton Road and with other residential uses in the area. With regard to negative criteria, in my opinion, the requested relief can be granted, number one, without substantial detriment to the public good for the reasons I have testified, and then has been enhanced by the request and with which we will comply with the comments from the board's professionals. I see no detriment to the public good, no negative impact on any of the adjacent properties. Number two, without substantially impairing the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance, as the application is not inconsistent with the master plan and zoning ordinance for the reasons that I have stated. Nevertheless, the bulk variances requested by the applicant are cognizant of under the C2 flexible C, because we meet that criteria as well as being subsumed under the higher standard of the use variance. Number one, it relates to a specific piece of property. It is oversized for the zone and can completely handle the proposed development. Number two, that the purposes of the municipal land use law would be advanced by the deviation from the zoning ordinance requirement, again, as testified to earlier, and that the variances, in my opinion, can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good. I see no detriment, only positive results by what we're what the applicant is transforming the property into what we're proposing, and that the number five, the benefits of the deviation would substantially outweigh any detriment. And again, my testimony is I see no detriment. Number six, that the requested variances will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the municipality zone plan and zoning ordinance, as I have testified to throughout my planning testimony.
All right, so does that conclude your planning analysis, Mr. Valletudo?
It does, sir, yes.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that would be our presentation for this application.
Okay, very well. Anyone from the public have any questions or comments?
Mr. Fox, can you unshare your screen, please? Thank you. No one, Chairman.
Okay. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I please get a second?
Mr. Chairman, just before you make that motion, the testimony did kind of circle around the master plan update that really says the Newmarket area needs to be upgraded. It didn't say it needed redevelopment, but it needed to be upgraded. And clearly the testimony goes to that theme for that area. I think it's important that we have that on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chadwick.
Thank you.
Okay, we need a second, please.
I'll say.
Thank you, Mr. Patel. Okay, Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Tillery?
Yes.
We will memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you, Mr. Morse.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time. Everyone have a pleasant evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 14, resolutions to be adopted.
The first resolution is Upholstery Reading Hall, which is voted to approve. Mr. Patel.
Jim, you froze.
The Mohammed
resolution. Mr. Canal, we can't hear you.
We can't hear you. Do you want me to read the resolutions? Because we can't hear you at all,
yes,
Jim.
Please, I'm having audio.
You want me to read them?
Yes.
Okay. 24ZB36V, Mohammed was approved. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount? Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
Second one, 24ZB32, that's withdrawal for Andrian Bethia. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
24ZB08V, Arvind Patel, it was also withdrawn. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
You approved. 24ZB47V, New York Verizon, approved. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
24ZB37V, Harish Patel. You approve the application. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka? Sorry, Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And the last one is 24ZB46V, Atul Agarwal. You approved it. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
Okay, those are all the resolutions. And we have adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of September 12th, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Motion to adjourn?
Second that.
All right.
Okay. Nine on the nose.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Good evening.
The next meeting.
Have a great weekend, everybody.